Welcome back to In the Moment. Tomorrow on the program, we bring you special programming for Veterans Day. And then on Saturday, November 11th, you can meet Ken Delfino at the South Dakota Air and Space Museum. He'll speak about American military cemeteries and the Honor Their Memory Project. But first, we have a preview of that with Ken Delfino. He's joining us now on the phone. Ken, welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Lori. It's Semper Fi.
Thank you. Give us an idea of how you started traveling around to cemeteries overseas.
Well, it started in 1993 when I was in Kiwanis, and my position had me requiring to attend four quarterly meetings, and one of them happened to be our international convention in Nice, France. So I had to go to France. I was kind of an isolationist at the time, but our group leader decided to take us. One of the stops was an American military cemetery in Seren, which is across the Seine River from Paris. That was my first exposure to the American Battle Monuments Commission cemeteries, and I was struck by the reverence that the superintendents and the local French took care of our graves there. And then that just spurred my interest to want to go to Normandy, but that wasn't in the plans for that year. So I followed up the next year, and the things that happened at Normandy just led to this project that's now been going on for 23 years.
Are they tied to the Honor Their Memory Project, or are these two separate things that we're talking about here?
They're tied to the my visit to Normandy ended up helping me create that project. When I visited Normandy, the assistant superintendent, Lee Atkinson, it was right around almost 5 o'clock, and so he asked me to come along and help retire the colors, which I did. And there at the base of one of the two flagpoles was a female in a white suit dress, and he said, you're in luck. Geneviève is here today, and it turned out to be the lady whose name is Geneviève Dubuc, who was 11 years old on D-Day, and her family had housed had kind of quartered 7 paratroopers who had ended up on their farm. And then later on, they ended up having some Germans who were lost, and there was kind of an uneasy natural truce for about 3 days on the farm. And that's written in her book by Geneviève. Anyways, Lee told me that she's always wanted a flag to have been flown over the cemetery because she'd come out about once a month to help retire the colors. And I said, I have some flags in my car that I brought with me. Can we fly one and give one to her? Because at that time, the APMC was not allowed to give them flags because they're U.S. property. So we went out and flew one for her, gave it back, and I thanked her on behalf of the families that I don't know if she had met or not. And I saw her reaction when she hugged that thing to her chest all the way out to the parking lot in her car. I said, you know, I got to try a project. And so the following year, 94, I wanted to have a project where all the Kiwanians could buy 5 graveside flags and so we could decorate all our flags in every one of these cemeteries overseas. But that project went too slow, so I switched it over to having Kiwanis clubs donate flags, replacement flags, to the cemeteries as a project, which turned out well. But then I remembered that flag, and so I flew in for my governor, Kiwanis governor, who was a World War II paratrooper, a veteran who flew, landed in St. Mary Glees, and when I saw his reaction, that kind of created the project where I now where I started flying flags for World War II veterans mainly, and now Korean War vets as the World War II veteran population diminishes.
Let's go back to some of those moments, the moments where you go to retire the colors and the moment where you see her, you know, hug the flag. What's it like to sort of stand in that sacred space by yourself and with someone else, a stranger, really?
Well, Lori, the first time that I ever stepped foot on those grounds, you can't really see the graves from the parking lot, but there are the two things that tower above are the 260-foot flagpoles with our flags flying, you know, in the breeze up there. I stepped onto that grass beyond the tree line, and I just got chills. Mm-hmm. And I get every time that I step on any of these cemetery grounds, knowing what the history is of what took place and what those men and some nurses who were buried in these places went through, I just get chills every single time. I've not gotten tired of it. And actually, in 2002, good friend of mine who was in the Marines of Vietnam went with me, and I took him to the Belleau, the Ain Marne Cemetery, which is adjacent to the Belleau Battlefield in Belleau, France. And I just saw this man transfixed into another world. And if you ever get a chance, Lori, this is one of the three places that you should visit.
I'm looking at some of your photographs online that you sent me a link to, and we'll put some of those up on our website as well. And I'm getting chills looking at some of the photos that you took, much less standing on that ground.
Well, it would, and I'll tell you, the superintendents, all the superintendents are American citizens. Most of them have served in the U.S. military or they spent a career in government positions, but about 99% of them are military veterans. And then they're assisted by an associate superintendent of the host nation. And then all most of the other employees, if not all, are all natives of the host country. Hmm. These folks are, they have such a reverence towards what took place there. It's hard to believe. There's the two ladies at Normandy who I first met in 1993. I saw them again just this past August. I've known them as they were starting in 93, and they're still there. We've kept a good friendship over all these years at Normandy. And there are other stories about these places where the citizens are involved also. My first visit to the Dutch cemetery, or the American cemetery in Margraten in the Netherlands, every one of those just over 8,200 graves have been adopted by a Dutch family, and as if that soldier or nurse was their own son or daughter, and they go out and decorate the graves every holiday. And the only way another family can get take over one of those soldiers is for the family to rescind their responsibilities. They're now going into their fourth generation. You know, the youngsters are taking the kids out every day and teaching them. There's a lot of children that you see in these native countries go visiting that I never fail to see young children being brought out by either their parents or their grandparents, you know, of my age, to show them what's going on out there and what it means.
And that's where the stories are passed down at that time then, too.
Exactly.
The stories and the values, really.
Right.
Give me an idea of what, you know, how the cemeteries or how these places sort of came to be. How long after a conflict or a war or a death were the bodies buried there? What do you know about the history of some of these places?
For an example of Normandy, there were three cemeteries that were built up during the war. One at in the village of Saint-Marie-Église, where our paratroopers landed, and then one, and that site is still there today, but there's nobody buried there. But it's still, nobody's purchased the land. There's a memorial there with our flag and a French flag. And then there's another place in an area, a place called La Combe, which is now a German cemetery with just over 21,000 Germans buried there, and then where Normandy is now. Well, after the war was over, some of the bodies were decided, some were brought back to the States, and then others were it was known to the commanders that they wanted to be buried in France with their buddies, were brought over to, for example, let's use Normandy, and they were brought there. In 1954, I think it was the last year that any remains could be returned to the United States. So all those men and women who are buried in these cemeteries are there because they want to be, or their names are on the wall of the missing because the remains were never found, or their dog tags were found but never the remains.
You served in Vietnam, and I'm wondering about any locations in Vietnam that you've been to or would want to go to.
No, there aren't any in Vietnam. Some of our men are buried in the Punch Bowl Crater in Hawaii, which ABMC also has taken over. But there is a South Korea. It's the United Nations Cemetery in South Korea, a small one, but not in Vietnam. Normally these cemeteries, we also have cemeteries in Mexico, the Panama Canal Zone. Those were, let's see, the canals, and I believe were the workers in canal. And I can't remember I've never been to the one in Mexico, so I can't remember from which war our men were buried there. One other thing about the land and the cemeteries. The land was given to the United States in perpetuity as a thank you. So that is U.S. soil. that you walk on when you visit these cemeteries.
Where do you want to go that you haven't been yet?
Well, I'm of Filipino descent. And perhaps one day I would hit the Manila Cemetery, which has the most men buried there. They over 17,000. But we have over 36,000 names on the wall that are missing. Those are all representative of mostly our aviators and sailors who fell in battle at sea. One of the names on that wall is Edward Butch O'Hare, after whom O'Hare International Airport is named. Okay. Then the superintendent there is also responsible for the care and maintenance of the Marine Memorial at Guadalcanal in Saipan, Cabanatuan, the prisoner of war camp in Cabanatuan, which was the end of the Bataan Death March, and also a marker at Papua New Guinea. And then there's another field which was opened just a few years ago at Clark Airfield, where more remains have been found in the countryside. And so a new cemetery was opened at Clark, and that's one of the newer ones.
Clark in the Philippines?
Yes, in the Philippines.
That Clark. Okay. Wow.
Clark, right. The base is no longer U.S. base, but,
right.
but
yeah.
They had that there.
I was stationed at Subic Bay. I didn't know any of those places existed when I was there.
I was not aware of Cemetery Manila.
Okay. Interesting. What's that?
How many bunnies did you throw in along the Po River?
Not one. They built a wall.
Okay.
When I was there, because too many people would throw things and then the children would dive in to get them.
Yeah.
And so when I was there in the early 90s, they had actually constructed a barrier so that could no longer be done.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah, right. I crossed it many times.
Yes.
I'm wondering how this project has really kind of changed you and, motivated you to keep telling these stories. How has it changed you?
Well, after I came home from Vietnam, I needed to do something. I had a fairly good, successful life in the business world, but there was something missing, and I was invited to join Kiwanis in 1987. So that led to the convention in 1993, and when I saw that first reaction after I presented the first flag to Bob, it just really hit me. And his family said that's the first time they ever seen him cry in years. Because along with it was a letter from the mayor of St. Mary Glees personally thanking him for what he did. Then I presented another one to another World War II sailor who had been at Pearl Harbor, and I had a flag flown over the Arizona in his honor. The ABMC does not control the Arizona. That's the Arizona Museum Foundation that does that. But I saw his reaction, and I said, I have to do this. And so I worked for United Airlines, so fortunately, I had the past benefits to be able to get on a plane and go do something for a 3-day weekend, and this all of a sudden just became something I was very passionate about. So I said, "Why do you do this? It's such a long drive from Paris down to the air, Normandy, and then back up." I says, "Yep, it's about a 3.5-4-hour drive, but you know what? I can do that in 3.5-4 hours, and I'm not getting shot at."
We're going to leave it right there. You can make the drive. You cannot get shot out. You can remember people. And you can see Ken Delfino on Saturday, November 11th. Head down to the South Dakota Air and Space Museum and meet him. That goes from 9 to 11. Ken, it is always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for being here today. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much, and happy birthday tomorrow.
Thank you. Happy birthday to the United States Marine Corps. In case those of you who are listening did not know that, that's tomorrow. Veterans Day is the next day.